Hi, Dojo Disciple Sean Orange here at the top of the show. We're releasing the show the same day as the purported Mayan apocalypse, so it's only appropriate that we did timed exclusives. Okay, it's not the best of planning, but we just wanted to let you know there's a lot of great stuff over at the FamicomDojo.tv website in the show notes. We have QR codes for Mies, a series of photographs we put up on the Facebook page for the apocalypse, a bunch of links to the articles that we mentioned during the show. That is, if you can get through me gushing about the Wii U for about 12 minutes. But enough of that. On to the show.
Oh, it's so good to be back podcasting again. Sean? Sean? Sean?
Yeah? What?
Oh, you're there. Okay.
Yeah. Why wouldn't I be?
All I'm hearing in the background is video game sounds.
Oh, yeah. Right. So I might have gotten a Wii U a couple of weeks ago.
You might have gotten.
I definitely have one because I'm on the gamepad right now.
Oh, so that explains that 3 week gap in between podcasts then.
Something like that. The last one we did release was a couple weeks late, and it was about the fact that I hadn't gotten one yet and just had played Phil Bonds, and yeah, that was enough to make me go out and get one. It's really nice. I kind of like it a lot. And the thing is, I don't really even play a lot of games with it right now. I mean, I do play games, but I watch a lot of Netflix. The Miiverse is great. I'm like on it every day, just looking at people who replied to me and reading all the different communities and stuff. Ah, I love it. There's so much awesome, gorgeous artwork on there. Do you know about the Wara Wara Plaza, right?
I've heard of it. Yeah.
So you're out there, like, you just boot this up, and this is all you see on your TV screen. You control everything on the menus and the gamepad, and you can just sit there and, like, watch all these different pieces of artwork pop up in the different communities that show up by default in the plaza, and you can click on it. If you go to the gamepad, click on it, and
this is user created art.
Yeah. I mean, because
want to see that?
No. Oh, okay. So first thing is, it's heavily moderated, so you're not going to see dicker doodles or anything like that. Yeah. Shout out to the Penny Arcade fans, I guess.
Yeah. I see. So
people are just really good artists out there, and I just love perusing what people have created. It's really, really nice. And you can do it yourself. It's, you know, you just pull out your stylus, you know, if you want to, I guess, and make a message on one of the communities. And there you go. And in fact, I made one myself based on a Rage comic. I'm pretty proud of myself.
You shouldn't be proud of anything connected with Rage comics.
Oh, well, okay, true. But anyway, yeah, it's just a lot of fun. I really like Nintendo Land. Donkey Kong Crash Course is actually a really fun game in its own right, and not really related to Donkey Kong at all.
Well, you know.
So yeah, I'm thinking this is going to be my new favorite system.
You're just going to do what you did with the Wii. You're gonna buy it. You're gonna play it for a little while, then it's gonna collect dust.
Okay, so in the show notes to the last episode, I did explain part of that, and it was sort of a realization after right before I bought the Wii U, I shipped off my Wii because it was totally dead. Shipped it off to Nintendo because I wanted to get all my games back and do a transfer to the Wii U that I knew I was going to get that weekend. And in so doing, I kind of came to the realization that the really big reason I stopped playing the Wii wasn't because it wasn't fun, wasn't because I didn't like it. I loved it. In fact, it was just because of all the awful artifacting from the graphics card, from the graphics chip that made games impossible to play. It gave me an impression that wasn't really, a stable system. Like, it was fragile. It might die any day. And I didn't want to put too much time into it. But the funny paradoxical thing was, I didn't want to send in the Wii because I was afraid that I wouldn't be able to edit my Miis anymore because it wasn't the same console that I would get back.
Wait.
Yeah.
You didn't send in a system that was broken that you could have got fixed for free,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah, this is during the warranty period.
Because you were afraid that you would lose your Miis.
Listen, this was how into the whole thing I was. Like a lot of people that got the system at the same time as me, you know, we traded our friend codes, we sent Miis back and forth, either, you know, via the Mii Parade or, you know, direct messages or whatever, and people were really, really into it. And so I was afraid, because I would customize my Mii to look like me as I changed, that I wouldn't be able to ever do that again because it wasn't my console's Mii anymore. Well, you know, so long story short, I wrote like a post about this on Reddit of all places. So we'll link that in the show notes. Really detailed explanation of what my experience with replacing this console was like, and that the thing about the Miis not being editable on the new console was false, like so many other rumors flying around about what happens when you replace your Wii. So I hope that no one suffers my particular fate. In my case, I ended up losing all my data because it was totally, totally dead.
So you played with like a near-dead console for a couple of years.
For like 5 years, yeah.
With like terrible artifacting.
Yes.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Because I'm stubborn, and I was working off of incorrect information. So I'm hoping to set the record straight so anyone who's in my predicament doesn't lose any of their information if their system does totally die. And also because 5 years are gone that I could have had with the system that would have been amazing. I could have finished No More Heroes. I could have finished Mario Galaxy. I could have finished a lot of games I just could not continue playing because it was just difficult. Mega Man 9. Wow, yeah.
On the plus side, though, I suppose, it's like you've just been given the gift of an entirely new system. Along with your, because like now you've got your Wii U and you've also got this amazing back library of Wii, and like the game's really slowed to a trickle the last 2 years, but there's still like three really good years of games you can go through.
Yeah, it's true, and I own a lot of them. I've opened all the games that I bought for the Wii, but I haven't played a lot of them to anywhere near completion. So now is the chance if I can find the time. But I don't think I'm going to copy my Wii identity to the Wii U. Not just because I spent a bunch of money to get it fixed, but because I found out certain things about things you can't do in the emulated Wii on the Wii U.
Like what?
So you can't send or receive messages anymore. There's no friend code anymore. So you can't. Essentially, any function that's duplicated in the Wii U's core functionality is missing from the Wii inside of the Wii U.
Really? I thought the Wii inside of the Wii U was essentially like the GameCube inside of a Wii.
I had thought that pretty much
a separate thing.
I had thought that too, except I asked Phil for his, because I had a new friend code because it was a new console. Everything else was the same. Like I could edit my Miis. I could my save games and DLC worked from the get-go, but the friend code changed, so I was asking Phil for what his friend code was, and he told me that he couldn't even find a place to find that out. And I was like, oh no, it's just hiding inside a message. Like, I can't even create a message. So sure enough, we spent last night trying to figure out all the differences. And
so the emulated Wii doesn't have the Wii menu with messages and stuff?
Right, yeah. You can get to the calendar. And you can see messages that you... I'm assuming anyway that the calendar has all of your old Wii data on there if you transferred it over, but you can't send new ones. You can't receive new ones. You can't.
Well, then how do you play Smash Brothers?
How so?
Online.
That's a good question. Yeah, because Wii Connect 24 doesn't work either.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Really.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, there you have it. So there's lots of reasons if you have a Wii to not transfer it over, and since I have a brand new one for all intents and purposes, fully functional, all the GameCube parts and everything, I'm gonna play it until it inevitably dies.
So if you transfer the parts over,
yeah,
you lose it on the Wii?
Yeah, the identity of the old Wii is essentially wiped. None of your stuff will work on there, even if you like kept your DLC like on a SD card. It shouldn't work anymore because your Wii Shop identity got moved over to the Wii U.
But like, you could still like go play a couple online runs of Mario Kart,
right. Like, you know, you have to create a new save data too, I think.
But I think I'd transfer mine over.
I'm not going to do it. I mean, Phil did. We'll see what all the ramifications are. He's not disappointed by it. Oh, there is one pro that found out. You can get Miis out of your Mii Parade or whatever, the Mii Creator.
Yeah.
In the Wii, and import them into the Wii U. You can also get them from a 3DS, and you can get them from QR codes. So
really,
yeah, like I said, I lost all my data on my Wii, but a bunch of my Miis are floating out there on other friends' consoles, including his. So they were accessible through the Wii U this way, and he made some QR codes for me, and I got a bunch of my Miis back, like Captain Sisko, the Dude, and Zoidberg. No Hitler, though.
You know, I don't know. I guess I never really got so much into the Mii creation. I mean, I made one that looked like me, and I think I made one that looked like, I don't know, some of the South Park characters. But then I was pretty much done with that feature. I'm that was fun.
Well, yeah, it took a couple of years for most people I knew, but yeah, I hear you.
But I mean, if my Wii died, I'd be worried about the games I downloaded very much.
Right.
But
which Nintendo can save.
If I lost all my Miis, I must say I wouldn't shed a tear.
Well, this is how obsessive I was. I had two controllers at the time, and for those who remember, the controllers can store some data, including Miis. And
like
I had
four
loaded
of them or something.
No, it's like 10.
Five. Really? Okay.
It's like eight or 10 per controller, and I had loaded up the two controllers I had at the time with all my favorite Miis, and I had backed up all my save games to an SD card. So I have my Wii now circa 2007, maybe early 2008.
Yeah.
So I didn't totally lose everything, but, you know, in the last 4 years, gone. 40 hours of Skyward Sword, gone. I didn't finish it yet.
So wait. You played Skyward Sword 40 hours on a Wii with artifacting issues.
Yes, because it was that good of a game. I know. And actually, the reason when I found out it was dead, I was trying to go back to play some more Skyward Sword because I finally had some time again. So, wah wah. That's okay. I get to experience a lot of these games over like new.
Well, I mean, if they're not don't have garbled graphics, yeah, it'll be like a remake for you.
Right? Oh goodness. So I didn't mean to make this about the Wii U. I just wanted to get that out there.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't done a podcast in a while. I'm sure there's lots of other things people want to hear about besides the Wii U. Possibly.
Well, let's see. What do people... Have you been on the internet ever?
ever. Yes, I believe I was on the internet to post all of this information to Reddit recently.
Oh, I see. Have you been on, I don't know, larger sites, IGN, GameFAQs, NeoGAF?
I've mentioned on this show before that I don't really read review sites. I go to NeoGAF.
Not review sites, but like just gaming message boards.
Well, I've been using Miiverse a lot. Does that count? No.
No, because it's better.
I have a NeoGAF account, but it's still not approved. I can't post anything, but I read stuff on occasion.
It's been a while. Shout out to all the NeoGAFers who listen to this, both of you. If anyone can get Sean's account approved, that would be awesome. But anyway.
Oh, man, obvious pandering. It's certain to be a ban.
Don't. NeoGAF, take that back.
This guy's a jerk. Don't let him in. Oh, it's not going to help either.
That's not going to. Oh, dear. But I've been a NeoGAF user for a number of years, and it's a really good community. But when the Wii U launched, I don't know. There's like pent up anti Nintendo rage just has exploded.
Really? How so?
Well, like the Wii was kind of ignored by the hardcore gaming community, or kind of laughed at.
Sure.
But like the Wii U has just inspired this level of vitriol. I think it started when Bayonetta was announced as Bayonetta 2 was announced as a Wii U exclusive.
Sure.
It was a whole, like, they're taking our games.
You mean a game that was published by Sega, which no longer has its own console to call home, and didn't do super duper hot, as far as I know.
No, it didn't do all that well. And basically, the maker, Platinum Games, great group of guys, made up of ex Clover staff, who did, like Okami and God Hand and stuff like that. But Platinum Games, they produced Bayonetta. It's the only Xbox 360 game to get a perfect 10 in Famitsu.
Wow.
Actually, and it's one of the very few, HD games to ever,
Right.
But regarded critically as a good game, but sales-wise was pretty much a flop in every region.
Right.
But, the company wanted to do a sequel, but they couldn't find anybody to publish it, Who wants to take, a risk on a game that already struck out once?
Apparently Nintendo.
But, like, Nintendo, who's, like, trying to be like, wait, this might give us a little bit of the hardcore cred, you know? They bailed it out. But like, it's been interpreted as Nintendo stole this game to make it exclusive to their system,
Seriously? No one was going to publish it. No one. No one.
No one was, but... I don't know, the comments go along the way of someone would have eventually.
Nintendo did eventually.
Or saying that the publisher should have taken the risk themselves and not sold out to Nintendo.
Yeah, I guess there's always Kickstarter, but not everyone's Tim Schafer.
The worst comments are the ones that went, I would rather this game not be made than be made as a Wii U exclusive.
Ouch.
Now, I don't know. I don't own an Xbox 360.
Sure.
And I don't really have any desire. I don't really have it. Yeah, I live in Japan. I don't really have a desire to own an Xbox 360. However, if they announced a new Shenmue for it or something,
yeah,
I would find Steve Ballmer and give him a big fat smooch on the lips, and I'd buy the Xbox console. Steve, I'd play it in my jail cell from having assaulted Steve Ballmer, who doesn't even have anything to do with the Xbox.
Wow.
Yeah, this I'll have to rethink this plan a little bit. But like, that would be great news because if I'm a fan of a series, if it can continue in some form that's not mobile phone edition,
right.
That's great news.
Definitely.
I bought the original Xbox because Jet Set Radio came out on it.
Okay. I didn't know you had an original Xbox, actually.
I did. I had the Kasumi Blue Edition, actually. Japan Limited Edition that came out with Dead or Alive Ultimate.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Bag. It was just because I needed money, actually. Right. But I bought it cheap because I bought it in Japan. I bought it for like $50 and I sold it for like $250. So,
wow.
Yeah, but anyway, I played the games that I really wanted, the exclusives on that. I played a Panzer Dragoon Orta. I played Jet Set Radio Future. I played the original Ninja Gaiden Black. Ninja Gaiden and the Black, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really good games for that system, As a system in general, it wasn't really for me. Just like the Wii U's probably not a system for a lot of hardcore gamers, but the rage slowed down and people went, well, it's only, I'll just wait for it to inevitably get ported to the other two consoles.
Sure.
And now people pretty much think, it's only a matter of time. If it's a good game, the other consoles will get it.
Sure. That's happened in quite a few cases that I can think of, actually.
I don't think it's an unreasonable position, actually.
Sure.
Now, of course, if nobody buys the game because they're waiting for a version on another platform to come out, there won't be another version because
yeah,
financial failure. But like, the argument goes, though, that it won't come out on another console because Nintendo's publishing.
That makes sense to me.
Yep. And then I say Mass Effect.
Oh, okay, okay. That's a little bit different, though. Originally, BioWare was a Microsoft, at least at the time of Mass Effect, was like a Microsoft game studios studio, and so they were second party. They only made games for Microsoft and their platforms, and that wasn't an unreasonable expectation. So they since left, and they partnered with EA, and now they make games under the EA banner exclusively. So EA is multi-platform. The first Mass Effect only came to the PS3 recently, but, like, you know, Mass Effect 2 took a year to come out. Mass Effect 3 was simultaneous release, and the first one you can get as PSN downloadable,
Just downloadable. It comes in the trilogy.
The trilogy also got released, which is something that we mentioned last episode. Did not know that the trilogy was coming out for PS3 at all at the time. Either it wasn't announced or I just didn't know about it. So apologies for that. But yeah, it is on the trilogy as well. But you don't have to get the trilogy to play it. But I recommend getting the trilogy.
We were talking about with that PSN thing. I'm like, so the trilogy for the PlayStation only has the last two games and you have to download the other one separately? But I'm like, Sean's a guy who knows Mass Effect. I mean, he knows Mass Effect like I know my children. But so I figured I... misinformed on this one.
But. Well, no, I mean, yeah, so yeah, it is coming out in the trilogy, but it's also coming out as a downloadable for PSN, at least last I heard, so, you know.
Okay.
Because there's people who had the 2 and 3 who don't need to buy a trilogy. Pay $60 to just get one game. So that's fine by me. So I was actually amazed that was even going to happen, you know, because that original game was a Microsoft exclusive, but yeah, it just goes to show, you know, BioWare probably retained some kind of rights to it. Probably paid Microsoft a lot of money, or EA did, you know, to get the rights to publish it on other consoles.
I mean, they must, because didn't Microsoft fund it, you know?
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It was a Microsoft game.
And then, so, I mean, I guess, but here's what I'll say with that. This game isn't being released by Nintendo. I mean, it's being released by Platinum Games. And Platinum Games makes games for all kinds of different platforms. Aren't they making a Metal Gear or something?
Well, sure, but I mean, this game in particular, you know, because Nintendo's the publisher, they paid for it, right? So it's really up to them if they want to let it come out on any of their consoles. Like, I doubt you're going to see a Nintendo published game on the Xbox 720 or whatever other consoles come out in the future, but stranger things have happened. Maybe they can do a similar thing and after five years, because that's how long it's been since Mass Effect originally came out, maybe they'll be able to release it for another console.
Well, let's look at Ninja Gaiden 2.
Sure.
Or even Ninja Gaiden, or whatever. Both of them came out as special Sigma versions on the other consoles. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So, well, on the other console. Sorry. Just... Right. But I mean, those were public. I mean, they were a team effort between Microsoft and Team Ninja.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there was a time when Team Ninja was whoever the head Team Ninja was, his name totally escapes me right now.
Guy with the glasses.
Not Doug Walker. That they would never release a game for a Nintendo console ever, or like any non-Microsoft console, and then they made Other M. So
before that, they made Ninja Gaiden for the 3D for the Nintendo DS.
Right. There you go. So things change. It's not like they intended when these things were meant to be exclusive. They were meant to be exclusive at the time.
Well, let's go farther back.
Okay.
No, this is going to bring up a painful memory.
For whom?
Because I know you were a big GameCube fan.
Were. I still am. I think it was my favorite console until the Wii U.
Right. The Capcom 5.
Oh, man. Yeah, we talked about this one a lot on this show.
I know. So go listen to those old podcasts for more detailed information. But I mean, Resident Evil 4 was a total betrayal.
Right, right.
The other one, not so much. Like Killer 7, like, you know, I thought Killer 7 was a fantastic game, but like it wasn't a huge seller. You know, it wasn't gonna
sure.
The exclusive that's going to bring GameCube back from
right.
The dead Phoenix. Phoenix was yeah, okay, but and the only one that stayed exclusive was product number 3, which stayed exclusive because nobody wanted it.
No,
except me. Great game, great game. But Resident Evil 4 was supposed to be the GameCube title.
Right.
So it was exclusive to the system. It was a big franchise, a well-known thing. And right before they released it, right before the game came out, they announced the PlayStation 2 version. Not
right. Right.
They waited till a week after. That would have sold some systems.
Right.
Were tons of people who were like, I will buy a GameCube for that game. And remember the producer during production, he said, this game will be like Nintendo exclusive or I'll cut off my head or something. Something really huge like that, he was quoted.
Mm-hmm.
We're still waiting.
Yeah.
But like it was just such bad timing. But like I don't even know why Capcom would do that, because they could have sold the game twice. You know what I mean?
I don't know either. Can I speculate?
You may.
Okay. I think they realized, because you know this wasn't like really that close to the GameCube launch at all, from what I remember. Right? It was a few years later. You know, the install base for the system just wasn't there. And maybe they got cold feet and realized that they spent a lot of time in this game and that it might be a system seller, but they didn't want to take that chance.
I'll agree that it was late in the run, but they could have had it be exclusive just for a little while.
I suppose.
PlayStation 2 version didn't come out till months later, but most people were willing to wait.
I think because of that particular incident, though, people have suspected that anything that's announced as an exclusive, especially if it is a third party who isn't tied to a particular console or publisher, that any exclusive has a very short life, anywhere from like announced timed exclusives to, you know, like 6 months, a year, a few years. So I guess it's not unreasonable at this point to expect something like any new games to come out for other consoles. I guess. So
that's the thing. Without exclusives, what is the difference between the HD consoles right now? I guess you could say online structures.
And that's the biggest difference. I mean, if you want to lump the Wii U in with the what is now previous gen, and people probably will. the only big difference is the gamepad and I think the Miiverse, which are two big ones. You know, the second one being something that either console could easily replicate. Well, not easily, but they could do it with a system update. The first one not without hardware, and I guess smart glass kind of counts, but it requires someone having a multi-$100 smartphone to.
Well, yeah.
So fragmentation, but yeah, that's the only difference I could say right now is that gamepad.
Yeah, I mean, okay, it's strange. Like, let's go. You have Zombie U, right?
Yeah, I picked it up when I got the system.
And that's actually a remake. A remake? Because, like. Okay, Ubisoft's first game way back in 1986 was a game called Zombie.
Really? I didn't know this.
You haven't played it because probably I don't think it ever came outside of Europe.
Oh, sure. What was it released on?
It was originally released on like the Amstrad system.
Amstrad. And then
later for like Spectrum, the Amiga, and the Commodore 64.
Okay, right. Gotcha. So,
I mean, it came out on a cassette tape, actually, the first one.
Wow. So what you're saying is that graphically, it doesn't have much in common.
I don't know. The screenshots I saw looked. I mean, for the time, you know. Sure. And Commodore 64 and stuff produced some pretty good sound. But it seems to be a very interesting thing. It was a first person arcade adventure. Okay, and
for the Commodore and the Amiga.
What? Well, like Wizardry was a first person role playing game, and that was in what, 1981. So.
Hmm.
But
I suppose okay.
But like, it's more based. I mean, what it's really kind of based on is like the, you know, Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Night of the Living Dead. You know, the George A. Romero type films.
Sure.
But listen to this premise and tell me what other game this really sounds like. Okay. You're controlling your four protagonists. Well, forget the four, but through a zombie filled shopping mall.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess that's probably what, you know, Dawn of the Dead kind of was. But, I mean, a game that really reminds me of is Dead Rising.
Sure. Yep.
Have you played Dead Rising?
I have not. I played the demo, I think. I downloaded it to my 360.
Yeah. It's pretty fun. I played Dead Rising Chop Till You Drop on the Wii. Not
not the same. I heard bad things about that.
It's not that it's such a bad game. It could have been a good game in its own, but it's bad when compared to the original Dead Rising.
Hmm.
Right. Like, it was ported to an engine it shouldn't have been ported to. But anyway, that's another game that was thought to be an exclusive that got ported.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. So,
Zombie, if one of your characters dies, yeah, he turns zombie and lingers around the area where he died.
Well, not just that. Like, there's some really clever online connectivity too. So, like, your friends or just randos around the internet, theirs might show up, which means, of course, there's a lot of goodies that you might find on them if you're able to slay them, which is really, really cool. I actually ran into I brought the game over to Phil's place, and then. A bunch of us played it over there, and they actually got farther than I did. And then by the time I got to that same point on my console, the last character that they had showed up in the game, and I was able to like kill him and take all of his stuff. So that was pretty cool.
But actually, I was talking about the original zombie game. Also had that where if a character dies, they become a lingering.
Really.
Yeah, the 1986 game. I need to try if I can track that down.
Right. Need a system to play it on, though.
Yeah, that'd be harder. But I don't know. I'm hoping that maybe like Ubisoft recognizes this and like releases it to Virtual Console or something, because they've got Commodore 64 section.
Right. Yeah, they totally could, but. Well, yeah, especially now that it is an exclusive. Yeah, I think they're kind of done with the Wii Shop, though. Honestly. Yeah.
But anyway, so regardless, Zombie U, when it was announced, it looked really good, and right now, the reviews are all over the place. Like one magazine gave it like a 2 or something, you know, like a 2 out of 10, and other people gave it like 9 out of 10, It's just all over the place. I think it really goes to what people's expectations were.
Yeah.
Like, people expecting a game where it's actually, you know, limited ammo, limited saves, have to survive, you know, really need to calculate your moves before going out.
Well, you still do all those things, though. It's just that whole multiple survivors mechanic makes it... Okay, I think it's brilliant. I think it's really, really good. It was enough of a hook to get me to want to get the game in the first place. That's what sold me on it. Playing it, I got to this part where you just spend a lot of the game up until this part trying to avoid zombies, and you're able to. And so you might not get a lot of experience fighting them. And then there's this part really early in the game where like a whole horde just comes and attacks your safe house.
Yeah.
And I was not prepared. In fact, on the way back to the safe house, I died and I lost all my stuff. So I spent, I lost like three or four survivors trying to get back to that spot, only to realize that I couldn't, I wasn't really meant to. So I had to like fight them off. You know, this guy's yelling, like, batten down the hatches. You know, you got this horde coming your way. You gotta fight him. It's like, I don't have any equipment. How am I supposed to fight them? So I went through maybe four or five more survivors before I was able to get through that part of the game. But I can imagine that's like where someone wants to turn the game off, really.
The survival horror purists actually quite liked the game.
Sure, sure. Oh, well, I mean, yeah, because, I don't know, there's definitely a sense of finality. You can't go back to a previous save and like, oh, I screwed that part up, I gotta start over. It's always in a continuous line, linear time, I think it's better than having like some kind of arbitrary number of lives, or, you know, you have a specific character like, hi, I'm Jill Valentine, and I have a sweet hip sway when I walk, and you want me to survive this game. But no, it's like, you got these nameless, well, they're not nameless or faceless because they had names and faces, but they're less important to the story and the gameplay than, you know, this guy who's talking to you over the intercom or what's happening in the world. Like, it's interesting. I like it a lot.
People who really didn't like it, though, are people who were comparing it to games like Biohazard 5, Resident Evil 5 or Left 4 Dead, or the more action-oriented zombie games, you know what I mean? Where you have a chainsaw and just mow down zombie after zombie, unlimited ammo, you know, stuff like that.
Right. This game, you want to avoid them unless you can't. And I think there are actual spots where even if you could survive, I don't think you're meant to. And it doesn't matter if you survive or not, except for you lose a bunch of stuff. There's this like box in your safe house that you're supposed to stock up with things. And so I think the strategy is supposed to be the survivors don't matter, but the stuff does. And if you can get your stuff back to the safe house, then you can lose as many survivors as you want, essentially.
So, but basically it's just the most polarizing game I've ever seen. There's people who, like you, think it's brilliant. And there's other people who think it's just at utter crap, you know. Now, people who do think it's brilliant, the ones who don't own a Wii U, or like the people who've read really good reviews, are already passing it off, going, don't worry, it'll be ported to other systems.
What? No.
It'll be better because you won't have to use the Wii Pad for inventory management.
Have to. Do you know how integrated the Wii Pad is into this game?
Tell me about it. I haven't played it. So.
Sure. I mean, there's this device in the game that the survivor hauls around that is essentially a gamepad. You know, so you have this like real world analog to a thing the character has in the game, and I guess they could work around that in a port if they really really wanted to, but man, I don't find switching to the gamepad and the TV back and forth being a burden. I think it really is opening up a new dimension of gameplay, because like a lot of Nintendo Land titles do that. Like other games that are like ports, like Mass Effect 3 or Arkham City. I haven't played those, mind you, yet, but it's just kind of like added gravy to a game that's already made, designed not to work with it. But like a Zombie U integrates that into absolutely everything you do, not just inventory management. So I don't see how it's possible unless they use something like Smart Glass. Which, again, fragmentation.
Also, Smart Glass has incredible lag because it's not connected right to the system. It's like through the internet.
Oh, God, Vita, that's right.
Yeah. Vita has less lag because you can already do co-play with games like PlayStation Battle, Smash Brothers ripoff, and Little Big Planet. But you have to really have those. You have to have the full game loaded onto your thing, though. You know what I mean?
Right.
So like, it couldn't be like you turn on your Vita, you turn on the game. You'd have to download, you know, some kind of companion app.
Right. Yeah, and that might not.
But like, considering only 7 people own Vita in the world, I think, like, okay, they could possibly make it, but as anything has shown, games that require add-on hardware, especially expensive add-on hardware, publishers sometimes just don't bother.
Right, right, yeah. And in this case, anyone who owns a Wii U gets a gamepad for less, the whole console and the gamepad for less than it would cost to buy, like, an iPad. So, I don't know. Someone who owns one of those things and owns, like, a 360 or whatever and says that they don't want to spend more money buying a Wii U, that's just silly. I think that's silly.
Yeah.
And the hate mail starts coming in.
All right.
Well, you reminded me, there's this awesome like gamepad teardown video. I forget the name of the guy. Something that Gwario linked, and I retweeted on our Twitter account, and I might have linked on the Facebook page as well. But we'll include it in the show notes. He just explains the concepts of like gyroscopes that are like in the Wii U and the Wii Motes and things like iOS devices and other tablets. But also explains that the thing works and has a limited range because the communication between the gamepad and the Wii U is Wi-Fi, which I thought was really interesting.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So does the Wii U make its own, like, I don't know, server or something? Or?
Yeah, I guess it must. That's really crazy because
it's in a house that doesn't have a Wi-Fi internet, you know.
Right, yeah, no, it's not using your internet router. Yeah, it's the signal's coming from the Wii U itself.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and it makes a lot of sense because you can transfer a lot of data very quickly, obviously, over Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So that's really, really cool.
Lag too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I noticed like no discernible lag using the gamepad. So like the other controllers of the previous generation and maybe the WaveBird, were those Bluetooth or something similar? It was radio, I know. It was based on radio frequencies. Well, so is Wi-Fi, I guess. But
yeah.
So yeah, interesting.
I don't think it was Bluetooth with the WaveBird because I know that the GameCube itself, unless that dongle incorporated Bluetooth, but I don't know that Bluetooth is.
Newer,
I associate that with a slightly later time period.
Right, right. Yeah, that's fair.
Early Bluetooth was really slow too. There would have been some lag.
Right.
New Bluetooth is pretty good, but. Okay, so, but like a lot of people are like, okay, maybe Zombie U won't come out to the other consoles, but that's okay. It's a game that scores an average on Metacritic of about 70%. You know,
yeah,
with very ranged scores. But one of them that seems that is going to get really high scores all over the place is Rayman Legends.
Oh man, yeah, you told me to play this demo. I haven't had a chance yet, but I did watch a video on YouTube. Well, I think this actually video is in the eShop. Man, I keep gushing about the Wii U and I gotta stop, but having those screenshots and videos in the eShop, that's like why I bought Nano Assault Neo and trying to like otherwise sight unseen. Never played those games before, but I was like, these look really cool, and I downloaded both of them.
But PlayStation 2 does that as well. Doesn't Xbox? I mean, they got gameplay videos in there, right?
Xbox? I don't think so. I mean, there's. I mean, okay. I take it back. They do offer videos, and they can be under a specific games section, I guess. So it's not hardly new that Nintendo's doing this. I'm just glad that they have because.
Okay,
Virtual Console and the WiiWare didn't have these features.
Yeah, because like even the Wii had gameplay videos, you know.
Did they?
Yeah.
Do 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 do. I don't remember this.
Oh yeah, they added that later on, probably during your Gotta Save the Miis era. So.
Yeah, oh, criminy. All right. Well, I remember that like Netflix and stuff used to need a disc to run on there, and now it's just a channel that you can download, which I ended up doing, and now I have like Netflix on the Wii U and the Wii and my iPhone and my Xbox.
You got all your bases covered,
right?
Third world problem.
You can get 20 coins on Nintendo or Club. Let's say that again. You can get 20 coins on Club Nintendo too for having the Netflix on your Wii U. At least you used to be able to.
There you go. But anyway, unlike Zombie U, this game is one that like a lot of people want because the Rayman Origins, the game that came before this, that used the same kind of like looks, like, you know, cell animation style, you know, it sold not particularly well, but like it gained a it was critically acclaimed. Like a lot of the hardcore gamers and just gamers in general really, really liked the game. And that was multi-platform. It was on everything.
Right.
And this game has a similar visual style, but it's being released for the Wii U. Now, it's got the five-player multiplayer, where four players can control characters, kind of like the new Super Mario Brothers way. And then player is with the gamepad affecting elements in the game.
Gotcha. Okay.
Now, the single player mode is, well, I showed you that video of it. I linked you that video. We should link that video in our...
That is, I mean, I love rhythm games. It's not really a rhythm game, but the fact that, like, everything is just so timed.
Yeah.
At least if you're playing it well, your actions are timed with the music and...
Castle Rock stage, right?
What's that?
You're talking about the Castle Rock stage.
Yeah, the one that you showed me. That was so cool. That video makes me want to buy this game.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When these videos started coming out and when these demos came out, everyone's like, wow. Like, system seller. I mean, not for everyone, you know, it's not a system seller in the same way Mario or Zelda is, but for a lot of people who played the original game, you know, they obviously want this. So instantly, every word that Ubisoft ever put out about the game or whatever, it's like originally their trailer said like exclusive in December or whatever, although it didn't miss that date. It's going to be out in March now.
Oh, sure.
People were going exclusive in December, so in January it'll be out on other stuff, you know.
I don't, you know,
and then there was an interview with someone in Ubisoft that said it was not impossible for it to come to another platform. It wasn't like announcing that it would, but it was saying it wouldn't be impossible.
Right, which is fine. I'm just so sick of this now. You know, for a long time, people would say, and I guess I believed that it's just like, oh, if Nintendo just released a better system that could compete with these other ones, then I would buy that instead of like a PS3 or an Xbox 360, and then I could have my one gaming console that satisfied all my needs, and I could play all these Nintendo titles that I love, and everyone will be happy. And now they've released that console, at least one that's comparable enough on current gen, to do just that, and everyone's just complaining and complaining and complaining. And I don't think they really like Nintendo or that they want to play Nintendo games. I think that they're just angry to be angry now.
I'm going to defend the haters.
Okay, please try, because I don't like them very much right now.
You cannot see with your eyes filled with rose-colored Nintendo love right now because you just got a Wii U. I don't have a Wii U, so I'm still angry with Nintendo for not releasing so many games in America, for making region locks, for you know, all of those things that irritate me, for not announcing Bravely Default for American launch, for taking Monolith's games and either not releasing them or only releasing them through GameStop, you know. I'm still seeing that Nintendo where Reggie gets on stage and goes, here's a bunch of crap you don't care about, you know. You know, the Nintendo that's pushing brain training and Wii Fit far above, like, and not releasing, you know, things like The Last Story, having to have Exeed save that one, you know.
Right.
That Nintendo.
Right. No, you're not wrong.
But I mean, this entitled thing of like, oh, this is a good game, so it must be out on every system.
Right, right, right. Yeah, it's like it's not good enough if it's out on just for Nintendo, and that's what just whatever.
Like this just idea that basically unless it has Mario in the game, it's going to be out on everything. And the thing is, they might be right.
Yeah, that's not an incorrect attitude to have, because you know, okay. This is why I don't believe in the exclusive thing anymore.
Yeah.
DLC.
Ah.
There are all these retailer exclusives.
Yep.
For all these games that come out, you know, mostly for the PS3 and the Xbox, multi-platform stuff. You know, you buy it here, you get this free character. Like Dampier was a free DLC character with Soul Calibur 5 if you bought it at Best Buy. Or, you know, you buy like one of the last three Assassin's Creed games that came out in the last 3 years, you get an exclusive skin or multiplayer character or whatever if you buy it here. And then 6 months later, oh, that stuff's downloadable by everyone for free or maybe for a small fee. And, you know, it was just to get people to go into the store day one, buy it, and then when that spike ends, then it's like, okay, everyone can have it now. So,
but I like that.
No,
I like
that's not that bad.
But like, I don't like that they had it in the first place.
Mm.
I do like it that, like, you know, that there's some exclusive level or content or something that if you didn't buy it at that store is kept away from you forever. I don't like that idea.
No, I don't like that either. So yeah, it's a pretty workable system, and you expect that stuff will be available to you at some point in the future, and I'm willing to wait. So that doesn't bother me. I don't buy stuff from GameStop, but it seems to be a pretty good business model for them. I did buy your copy of Xenoblade from there though, because that was an exclusive to that store.
I'm holding it right now.
Yeah.
I did yet.
That's worth 50 coins on the Club Nintendo. By the way, I'm a Club Nintendo member now, and I've been obsessing over this.
Coins?
Yeah. I had all these DS games and Wii games that I never registered, and I just, like, literally, when I got my Wii, I went through all of them. And I'm sitting on a pretty nice piggy bank for 2013 right now. just putting that out there.
I'm not a Club Nintendo member, but I probably should be. Considering all the games I buy.
Right. Like, I have all these GameCube games that are now no longer eligible because it's been too long.
Yeah.
So, but get on that now before the Wii games are no longer eligible either.
That's true. I really should.
It's free.
But anyway, a timed exclusive. Like, it seemed like Nintendo found a way of making things exclusive forever by adding Nintendo characters to them.
Such as?
Well, such as they lost Rare, but Donkey Kong 64 is not going to come out on any other system.
Well, Donkey Kong was always Nintendo property before Rare even touched it, though.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. You're right. So nothing can be really exclusive. And I'm going to prove that right now.
Oh?
Yeah, last week I released a Dojo to Go segment.
Ah, yes. On Facebook exclusively.
To Facebook. It's not in our YouTube channel. You can check it out if you're on Facebook, and you should. You should. Because I thought maybe we'd get a couple more Facebook users, which is always nice because they keep up to date with everything we're doing. So I put it up exclusively to that. It's not really about video games. It's about, Japanese idol singers. You'll have to check it out yourself. But anyway,
it's interesting. Yeah.
It's short and it's kind of lame, but it's worth checking out. But I am going to do a classic Capcom maneuver right now.
No.
Before you even watch it, I'm going to announce that in 2 weeks I'll put it on YouTube.
Oh, dear.
So it'll be on our YouTube channel. So you should go check it out right now, but you don't have to.
Right, because it'll be out on something you actually watch. It might be subscribed to already.
Who knows? It might even be a special edition. In fact, the video might have Ada Wong in it.
See, you should have put 5 videos up first and then made 4 of them non-exclusive.
Ooh, that's right. That's right. I should have. The Famicom Dojo 5. Anyway, please do join. Please do join our Facebook. And it's and leave comments, of course, on our website for these videos. We have some really good discussion going on for a lot of these. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like we had to push people to the Facebook page because it's doing pretty good on its own. But this is a pretty decent strategy, I think, to get more people to go there first and subscribe to our YouTube channel as well.
But we're putting stuff up nearly daily or whatever about just topics in gaming. I put up a lot of Japanese and retro stuff. Sean's doing a little more of the modern gaming stuff. And
isn't nearly as popular.
Well... I mean, if people are joining Famicom Dojo rather than I don't know, some IGN feed, I mean, that's probably what they're looking for.
Sure,
but, yeah.
Sure.
But check us out. Rate sub, and if you like this podcast, which we hope you do, please rate it and tell a friend.
I should mention to anyone who's looking for the Rayman Legends demo on the Nintendo eShop. On Wii U, they haven't made it obvious how you're supposed to get the demo. There is a little icon next to the more details that shows like a gamepad and like a little like you know Wi-Fi thing next to it. It says it's retail only and not available for download on the eShop. So you're like, oh well, what am I doing here? Click on more details. The demo download button's in there. It's really silly.
Nintendo's really got to get their stuff together too. I can't believe the American eShop doesn't have its own demos tab or area.
Right. The non-American one doesn't or does have that?
Apparently the European eShop has a demos area.
That's what the heck, Nintendo. Well, the other thing in Europe, you can only purchase downloadable rated M titles between like a 4 or 6 hour window because they're based in Germany in Europe. Nintendo is, and they have to abide by Germany's laws regarding when you can sell rated mature games.
Yeah, like with some of the other German things, some of the games that have been outright banned there, like for example, if there's ever a Wii U port of Wolfenstein, will it just be not for sale?
Right.
Banned. There are a few other ones that were banned. Carmageddon was banned in Germany.
Aren't those Call of Duty games or whatever ones where you like kill lots of Japanese soldiers still for sale in Japan?
Yeah, that always struck me as odd. Yeah, I have the Japanese version of Medal of Honor.
Medal of Honor. Yeah, there we go.
Rising Sun or something, and you just go when you kill Japanese people.
Interesting.
Sell particularly well there.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Well, anyway. if you want to hear more of our sweet, sweet show, if you're not listening to us through iTunes, you should really, really download. Make sure you subscribe that way. And also leave a comment and rate us, because that's how other people will find the show. I've noticed that even though we haven't been released on a regular schedule, the download count of each episode has been going up still. And I think that's because listeners like you guys are taking that to heart and starting to share the show, and I really appreciate that. So thank you. We'll try and do more shows more frequently. I promise. Maybe.
Well, Christmas break is coming up. I don't know what that means for you, Sean, but for me, that means I've actually got some time.
I will be taking a week off after the New Year, but it'll be New Year's festivities and MAGFest 2013.
Oh, you're going again?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that means VinkCon is coming up.
That's right.
Oh man, I better see if basketball is still available.
Do you have any guests lined up?
Well, I've already got the game room pretty much secured. I'm going to try to get basketball back on the games list.
Okay.
I don't know. Elmo's been having some problems recently in the media, so
that
might be more available. But I don't know if I want VinCon associated with the Tickle Me Elmo that we have.
Right on.
All right. I'll keep you posted on that. Wow, lots of stuff coming up.
Yeah. So I guess until then, the dojo is. Oh, look! I have a friend request on my Wii U.
Some of us have heard this in the future. Oh yeah, request Sean on your Wii U.
Yep, so Sean Orange or Famicom Dojo's on there too. Or follow us there.
All right, the dojo is achieved. We need a catchphrase. Okay.
Famicom Dojo.